This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
All indicators of American religiosity are either stable or declining, but the decline is slow, and Americans remain very religious by world standards.
I don't know how much God has to do to get the attention of the politicians. We've had an earthquake, we've had a hurricane. He said, are you going to start listening to me here? Listen to the American people.
With relatively few exceptions, the mass media tend to cover these disputed issues with a combination of ignorance, laziness, and bias against traditional Christian beliefs.
Every word of law, every damning exclamation is given to you for a purpose, to damn you to death, to kill you, to crucify you, and drive you to Jesus.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
It really is a problem. I mean, there's no doubt about it. In the past, maybe the problem was different. In the past, closer to the turn of the century, if a young man went to the seminary, got his education, his preparation for the pastoral ministry, he might graduate from the seminary. He might be certified to receive a call to a congregation, but he might sit around for a couple of years or go back to the farm or wherever he lived and wait, because there were too many pastors and too few churches. Well, nowadays, it's an interesting situation. In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, almost 10% of the congregations are unable to call a pastor for financial reasons, largely. We're going to be talking about the shortage of pastoral calls in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Herb Miller will be our guest in the first half hour. He's first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 31st of August. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email here in the studio with a question or a comment. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave your questions, comments, your observations on the shortage of pastoral calls in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Daniel Burhop will be our guest in the second half hour. We'll talk about words and the word. Dr. Frank Beckwith joins us in the second hour. Mormonism does have a view of natural law. We'll find out what it is. This is pretty important when we consider the possibility of cooperating even with Mormons in social and moral endeavors, not theological endeavors, but social and moral endeavors in the civil realm. What is their view of natural law? Is it close to Christian? And then we'll discuss barrenness in the last half hour. Pastor Michael Schuerman and his wife Katie will be our guest. Katie is author of the new book, He Remembers the Barren. Pastor Herb Miller is a regular guest. He's first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he joins us live from Thorpe, Wisconsin. Herb, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you?
I'm very well. And you?
Very well. On my way to a meeting tomorrow with the staff at the North Wisconsin District in Wausau, and we stopped in Thorpe, Wisconsin, so that we could make this call.
Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. I imagine that one of the things you end up discussing a lot as you travel across the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is the shortage of pastoral calls for the congregations. Let's start with kind of the biblical root. Someone might ask, does the Bible even teach anything specific about calling pastors?
Well, I just quickly looked up in Titus chapter 1. Paul writes to Titus that he left him behind in Crete, and he said, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And then he goes on to talk about pastors and what pastors are called to be and to do. So that's one spot where it talks about calling pastors. You can read the book of 1 Timothy especially as well. St. Paul describes what a pastor is to be. The assumption is made that, I shouldn't put it exactly that way, but what we seek to do is follow the Lord's command to provide pastors for his church. Every congregation needs a pastor. As Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 20, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And that scripture verse speaks of the institution of the pastoral office. As Jesus sends the apostles, and pastors today are sent into the apostolic ministry in order to provide the church with pastors in order that Jesus might speak with his voice in the congregations through the voice of the shepherds that he calls through congregations for the sake of the church.
So should we hold it as a statement that has sound biblical foundations that you can't have, properly speaking, you really can't have a congregation absent a pastor, and you're not going to have pastors floating out there who have no sheep, that the two go together?
The two have to go together. Now, a congregation... a congregation exists as a congregation, even if the pastoral office in that congregation is temporarily vacant. Okay, but the Lord tells congregations that they need to call a pastor, congregations. We speak of them as vacant congregations. The pastoral office is vacant. There is something missing. As Paul told Titus, I'm telling you, go and appoint elders in every town. And the words before that, in one translation, he says, go amend what was defective. In other words, if there's a congregation without a pastor, that congregation needs somehow to be provided with a pastor.
So what does it really look like? I mean, you have a bit of the bird's eye view on the situation in our denomination, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. At the beginning of our conversation, I ballparked 10% out of 6,000 congregations, perhaps 600, that at this time are currently unable to call?
Yes, I can give you, I've got some statistics from this year, and also I looked up the statistics from 10 years ago, just by way of comparison. So, for instance, as of this spring, the last time we surveyed all of the districts, 199 congregations were calling sole pastors. 10 years ago, at the same time, it was 621 congregations calling sole pastors. This year, 32 calling senior pastors. 10 years ago, 50 calling senior pastors. This year, 28 congregations calling associate pastors. 10 years ago, it was 91. 10 years ago, we had 328 non-calling congregations. Today, there are 578 non-calling congregations, and that's 250 more. Now, there's several reasons why a congregation might not be calling or might not be able to call a full-time pastor. It may be that the congregation is in an area where the population has shrunk, and so the membership in the congregation has shrunk. It may be that while the membership has remained stable, they were kind of borderline before in terms of financial viability, but now with the rising cost of health care, all of a sudden they're priced out of the market, so to speak. There are congregations that are working with retired pastors who are serving them part-time. They may be counted as non-calling, but they do have a pastor who is taking care of them. There are a number of reasons for that, but for me, the most stark comparison was this year we had 199 past congregations calling sole pastors. 10 years ago, we had 621.
That's pretty scary. A great question from one of our listeners before we take our first break with about a minute to answer, Herb, from Sandra in New Hope, Minnesota. If calls are divine calls, how is there a shortage of them? Is God being stingy? About a minute to respond there before we take a break.
I saw that that question. Is God being stingy? Well, God works through our congregations and through, you know, as Lutherans, we believe God works through means. He works through the means of grace. He works through congregations to provide congregations with pastors and pastors with congregations to serve. What our present situation means that we need to find some maybe some new ways of responding to this. I'm not saying that I'm not going to say that God is being stingy with calls. More work has to be done to prepare congregations for calling, more work needs to be done in order to prepare pastors to serve in marginal situations, too.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk more about the shortage of pastoral calls in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Herb Miller is our guest, first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Why will churches often use a shell to symbolize holy baptism? The Issues, Etc. book of the month for August is Behold the Lamb, an introduction to Christian symbolism. It's written by regular guest Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Behold the Lamb costs $9.49 plus shipping and handling. You can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. Behold the Lamb, an introduction to Christian symbolism.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues, Etc., the Issues Etc. business card, and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Nebraska. Each month, we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30. Both clergy and laity are invited. This month, we meet on Thursday, September 29. I will continue my presentations on C.F.W. Walther's True Visible Church on Earth, and Reverend Scott Porath from Emmanuel Eagle will present on the unbiblical removal of pastors.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Probably more questions than we have time for as we talk with Pastor Herb Miller, Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about the shortage of pastoral calls in the LCMS. Herb, this one comes from Jonathan in Crosby, Texas. He says, Wasn't it just a few years ago that there was a hue and cry for more and more seminarians to fill the soon-to-be-empty clergy ranks? I understand the economy has hit the church hard. Have that many calling churches / ministries had to close or become permanently vacant? Are men staying in the ministry instead of retiring, preferring a bird in the hand, that is employment, to one in the bush, that is retirement? There has to be have been a hugely dramatic shift to go within 10 years from the workers are few to the calls are few. It's a question we often hear. Herb, what's your response?
In a word, yes, mostly. One of the problems, I think, was that 10, 12 years ago, the number of vacancies was a bit oversold. They were counting not only the 621 calling soul pastors, but counting the 300 and some then non-calling vacancies and telling everybody we had, oh, we've got 900 vacancies. Well, that was not, I don't want to say that was dishonest, but what I do want to say is that that was probably not telling the complete story at that time. What also has happened is that because of the economy, I know of a number of boomer pastors who could retire but have decided to wait a couple more years until their retirement funds are a little bit better off so that they can afford to retire. That's a factor. But I think one of the biggest factors is the cost of health care, the cost of benefits. Marginal congregations, and by marginal I mean congregations that used to be able to support a full-time pastor but now are no longer able to do so because of the cost of benefits. It's not any fault of their own. They just don't have enough people to be able to cover that cost.
This one comes from Jody in Wisconsin. Says, I've been in the ministry for 19 years. I've received 3 calls, including my initial placement, all of which I've accepted. I've been in my current congregation for 10 years, and in spite of asking that my name be circulated, have not even received an inquiry, let alone a call, in that 10 years. I see other pastors in my circuit rarely, if ever, getting calls, even when seeking them. It's hard to see much of a shortage when the calls just aren't there. Your thoughts?
Well, I would just simply go back to the numbers with which I started. If across the Synod we have only 199 congregations calling soul pastors at the present time, it's just simply going to be demographically more difficult to find a call or to move. Another factor is a pastor's age. As when I was a district president, I remember one time I had a congregation tell me directly, we took all the names on your list, Pastor Miller, but all those over 50, we just automatically X'd them out because they're just going to be too expensive. And by the way, we want someone younger. And a congregation doing that is depriving itself of some very experienced and faithful men.
This one comes from Nicholas. He says, all of the recent seminary graduates I know are considering other career paths because they cannot feed a family, but pastors of many megachurches make exorbitant salaries. It would seem there is a bigger problem at work here. What are your thoughts on Nicholas's concern?
Wow, that's interesting. In the Lutheran Church in Australia, what they do is, by constitutional provision, every pastor is paid the same out of the general church treasury. And this is my understanding, at least, that all pastor salaries are the same, so that there's no jealousy one way or the other between pastors. On the other hand, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, from the very beginning, every congregation has had the right to govern itself and to govern its own internal affairs, including the salaries of its workers. as a district president, I would always encourage congregations to pay the pastor as much as they could, afford, to make sure that he could support his family, because there are actually far more pastors who are making on the low end of the scale than there are those few making the exorbitant salaries. But then as a synod, the synod does not have the authority to tell a tell a congregation what they should pay their pastor. That's the congregation's right of governing itself, at least as our synod is presently organized.
Daniel in Cheyenne, Wyoming, says, thank you, Issues Etc., for taking up this topic. The fact that there are non-calling Lutheran congregations is a scandal. My question is, what is being done to support the most recent seminary graduates who still await the call of the Lord, either from the seminary or from the Council of Presidents? It seems that it is taking a long time to place the relatively few men. I do thank you for taking time to discuss this. I know of many men who are personally, and frankly, they are suffering a great deal because of it. If you would, keep them in your prayers. Your thoughts there, especially with regard to men who are waiting and the kind of the scandalous nature of that many non-calling congregations.
Yeah. First of all, I know that district presidents and seminary placement people are working as hard as they can in order to find places for these men. As of the 1st of May, it is my understanding there were 13 candidates who had not yet been placed. I'm sure that various efforts are being made to find places for them. I know that in the past, LCMS World Relief Human Care has provided some money to help these men. The difficulty is that it's not possible for a district president to go to a congregation and say, you must take a seminary graduate, because, again, congregations in our synod govern themselves.
Okay.
And congregations choose their pastor, yeah.
About 30 seconds to respond to Paul in California, who says, do we have a forecast for pastoral vacancies over the next 5 or 10 years? I am contemplating seminary in about 5 years as a second career seminarian, but I am concerned about the increasing lack of calls and whether there will be a need. About 30 seconds for response to Paul.
I don't have exact statistics to point to, but I believe very firmly there will be a need, and I would encourage Paul to seek out the seminary and discern through prayer and consultation with others whether the Lord is leading him to prepare for the holy ministry. He will, the Lord will provide a place for him to serve if the Lord has the desire to use this this man in his service. The Lord will provide. My father graduated seminary in 1939. There were 100 men. There were no calls. He waited until October 1940 before he finally received a call. This too shall pass. There will the pastors who have been waiting to retire, waiting for the economy to improve before they retire, they're going to be retiring in the next 3 or 4 years, and it is my understanding that the number of calling congregations is going to increase again. That's my understanding, anyway.
Well, with only about 30 seconds again, Herb, what specifically can be done with these quote-unquote permanently non-calling vacant congregations? About 30 seconds.
Well, that's every district president's dilemma. It's something that the Council of Presidents discusses. What we need to do is to pray that the Lord would provide. We need to discuss how we can help these congregations. In some cases, we can help them to link up with other congregations so that maybe a pastor serves two or three of these smaller congregations. That's a possibility. There have always been situations where pastors take a call to a congregation knowing that they're going to have to find another part-time job because the congregation just isn't strong enough to afford them. And then through hard work and the Lord's blessing of the mission of that congregation, perhaps it will be able to support a pastor in the future. But pray for the district president that he has wisdom. Pray for the congregations that they are able to find a way to respond.
Pastor Herb Miller is vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Herb, we barely scratched the surface here, especially by way of solutions. I hope that you'd be willing to come back on with us and give us an update in the future.
I would be willing to come back anytime that we can agree on a time. That'll be great.
Thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about words and the word on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 31st. Pastor Daniel Burhop will be our guest. He's authored an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled Words, Words, Words.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Independent and in the black for 3 years and running. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Laura Hill was only 16 weeks into her pregnancy when her water broke. The doctor advised her to have an abortion because he said she'd likely go into labor within a few weeks, with a 1% chance of the baby surviving. Even then, he cautioned, the baby would likely have serious health issues. Laura ignored her doctor's advice and continued the pregnancy. The membranes surrounding her son repaired themselves, and the amniotic fluid remained around the baby. Charlie was born just 1 week premature and weighed in at over 7 pounds. If I had a dollar for every time a doctor wrongly predicted a terrible outcome, I'd be on my way to retirement. But even if the chances are slim, a doctor should never tell the mother to kill her unborn child.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.